During the winter months of colder and shorter days, many people struggle with seasonal depression. People who are otherwise happy are all of a sudden weighed down with emotions and sorrow that they didn't have before. Are there answers for the Jesus follower in the midst of this season of sadness?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this. If you're watching on YouTube, you can go ahead and like this video, comment down below. Please subscribe to our channel and then share this with someone else so that they can also be impacted by this good message today.
Yeah, and it is true. It's good. It's a good message for a sad time. So here we are near the holidays, winter months, time change, shorter days. Anybody at the table affected by that time change affect you?
Oh, terribly. Yeah. I mean, it's midnight at 6 p.m.
Yes, sure does feel like that.
Yes. And
part of me hates it. Other part of me loves it.
Yeah.
It because whenever I go home, it's instantly like, oh, there's no light outside, so you can't go on a walk with the kids or anything like that. That's kind of the worst. But then I also kind of love it because it's like, it's just nice and cozy here for an extra couple hours and you don't have to go to sleep immediately.
And I like getting up and it's bright and sunny and happy.
That is nice. That's a nice deal.
It is nice. Yes. But first of all, I can't imagine living north of here.
No.
I've been to Indiana around this time of the year. I can't imagine even further north where 4 o'clock is dark.
Oh, no. Yeah.
4 p.m.
Yeah, that's rough.
There's some people I follow in Indiana, and they're like, you should go ahead and wave goodbye to the sun for about 4 months out of the year.
Wow.
Forget about it and enjoy some snow, lots of snow.
Yeah.
All that to say, there is a seasonal type of sadness or depression that affects a lot of people. In fact, latest stats I saw were that 10 million Americans will struggle with a seasonal depression around this time of the year, especially you get into January period. A lot of factors go into that. You know, sometimes it's the holidays. So for some people, it actually causes sadness because of family issues or memories or loss, tragedy. But there is a seasonal sadness that comes along about this time of year, again, because of loss of as much daylight. Could be a variety of different reasons. But it can even be something that happens as a result of issues that have happened in the past at about this time of year. I know I've struggled with some of that in the past. It doesn't affect me as much anymore, due in part to some intentional steps we'll talk about here. But I remember very specifically younger years, 18 to 23-ish, right in there, struggling. I had some anxiety attacks and stuff, and they happen around the winter time. And so every time the winter would come back around, it was as though it all was happening all over again. And it's like I couldn't stop it. Like, I didn't have this struggle back in the spring, but here it is showing up again because it's the cycle again. It'd come back to that same period, and it looks the same. It feels the same. And so it was equated with dark, you know, shorter days, cold weather, and all of that. So it's a very real condition. It's referred to as seasonal affective disorder. We're going to refer to it today as seasonal depression, sadness. I don't like to think of it in terms of a disorder as though it's something that paralyzes you permanently. But as something that you can recognize and find healing in. So it's a very real condition. Roseanne, is that something you've struggled with?
It is. I want to say real quick, I love that you're changing it from disorder, something that you cannot move past,
right,
to a disease that you can. I like that.
Dis-ease.
No, it's definitely something I've dealt with. I've dealt with normal depression throughout life, but as well as seasonal depression. I mean, and it's a tough one to overcome, but again, it is something that you can.
True.
I would say, for me personally, not as much. Haven't really experienced, not to the levels of which I would say like, oh yes, this depression is occurring again and again, time and time again. You know, I've talked with my wife, Chloe, more about this because she's like, yeah, I've totally experienced that, totally relate with that. And for her, she's like, the January in February. She's like, you might as well just call them the worst months ever. She's also the biggest Christmas fan in the whole entire world. So yeah. all the Once Christmas trees get all packed up and the Christmas music goes off the radio. She's like, what's even the point?
You know? Yeah.
spring comes around March. Yes. She's starting to
But it takes a time.
There's definitely.
That's true.
There's some people that it says for the seasonal that it's 4 to 5 months. Like as soon as fall hits, it lasts the whole time onward. Yes. Yeah. To the sadness after Christmas too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was mine more. It was more fall, late fall, but it would carry over into the whole season. I hated it.
Yeah. So,
and it's unusual in that the symptoms that it has, it takes away your energy.
Yeah.
And a sense of fatigue settles in, which does not help.
No.
You know, you have this difficulty in concentrating. I know for me, it's emotions are kind of all over the page, racing thoughts.
Yeah.
Then you don't sleep well, appetite gets off, you start feeling these physical aches and pains, like, where does that come from? What's wrong with me? Which does not help.
Yeah.
you know, super, you know, sad thoughts, depressive thoughts, can't even lead to suicidal thoughts, this sense of hopelessness, guilt, worthlessness, all of that comes to play in there. And then you just have a lack of desire to want to go do anything. Which adds to even greater troubles in the whole mix here. So, Roseanne, in your family, is that you have family or friends that this has been a part of as well? Is it just you or?
No, it's me. I have people in my family that I've dealt with. I have friends. I have women that come to Vertical that deal with things like this. So it's sadly very common. Just like you said, the 10 million Americans, like that was shocking. But then when you really think about it, there's more people than you would think that are, that struggle with this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I know my mom did some, my dad did not. He was lively, you know, got a task to do, let's get after it and go do it kind of deal and up most of the time. So
that would be our household too. Like Dave would be the one. Like, why are you feeling so many emotions? Like, what is it that's going on? We've got things to do. Let's go do it.
Yeah.
Over the years, he's learned how to deal with me more. I guess that's the
great.
Relate. There you go.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this today, not in terms of just what is seasonal depression, but let's talk about where does Jesus fit in the mix of all of this? Because that's, we have the gospel, the good news, and Jesus meets us to save us. He saves us from our past, but that has full implications of forgiveness of our guilt, our shame, our gives us worth, gives us meaning. And so it has an impact into our emotions and our thoughts. So there's redemption of our full body, our spirit, soul, mind, and emotions, and physical body as well. So let's talk about seasonal depression and where Jesus meets us in this. First, I think anybody who's ever struggled with this or been around anyone that struggled with this, you would recognize that it can lead to a feeling of great isolation where you feel like, man, I'm all alone in this. No one else understands what I'm going through. And the struggle is that the more that you give into that isolating feeling, the more you just close in till it's just you.
Yeah, and the heavier that it gets.
Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah. You don't want to go out anywhere. Mm-mm. You don't want to be around anybody. Mm-hmm. But you know it's the very thing that you actually need to do.
Yeah.
That's what's so...
Yeah.
Then you start to wonder, okay, this is a spiritual attack as well because it's isolating me. It's causing me to not want to be around other people who are actually the ones who can probably help me the most. So... Yeah. I'm just curious. I know there's times that we probably recognize that true, maybe even not struggling with seasonal depression. I'm sure you recognize there's times that I really need to be out with some people right now, but it's kind of the last thing I want to do, right?
Yeah.
Roseanne, everybody?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you do when you're at that spot, when you know it would be healthy for me to go be with this person, these people, or this group, but I kind of don't want to? What do you do when you're in that spot?
Well,
pressure's on.
The pressure's on. Well, first I would say that it's a battle. I mean, like when you're in that feeling and you're feeling all that stuff you talked about, like the, you know, I'm not sleeping well, I'm sad, I'm heavy. I can't, and you're probably feeling heavy because you're also eating terribly, whether you're not eating, or we all know it's probably more on the other side that you're eating terribly. Because you're, you know, eating your feelings, or you're sleeping your feelings, you're up thinking your feelings, you're all up in your feelings.
Pass me a bowl of sadness, please.
Yeah, exactly. Which then makes you feel worse, and then you don't want to be out in front of people because your pants might be tighter, or your chest is heavier. Like women, they feel me on that one. Men, I don't know if your pants get tighter.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I do. Yeah, but and it not only affects your witness, but it affects you being able to go out in front of people. And so you're feeling all these things. You're confused why you're doing it. So you're in a battle as to how do I know I need to do this, but I don't want to do it. So I would say, you know, well, I don't even know where I would start. Let's see. I would say, to be blunt, you have to put on your big girl panties.
There it is.
Right?
It is.
Or your
that
big
goes
boy.
For you too, guys.
That's right, your big boy pants. No, wow. But you have to take that one little step and you have to say, I can do this. I can put my feet on the floor. Mm-hmm, I can go out the door. I know I'm going to feel better if I'm surrounded by people who love me.
Yeah,
I think is the big thing. Don't just go out to do random things.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a strange thing what it does to your thoughts, though, because in your emotions, what's happening is you say, okay, I'm going to go out and I'll get around these people. And you do. And while you're around them, you are interpreting everything that they're saying and doing based on your isolation and your sadness.
It's true.
And you start thinking, I bet they're laughing at me.
Yes.
They're talking about me.
Yes.
They aren't talking to me as much as they used to talk to me.
Yeah.
It's a sad.
It is.
Experience.
It is, and it's almost a game, because even if you're not thinking of it in the moment, because I know when I would struggle with this, I will go out with people, but I'll put on the mask. You know, they're not going to know anything is wrong with me. Everything is just so great. Right. But as soon as I get home, I'm going to replay all of those conversations, which will then...
And then you're worn out because you're wearing a mask.
Yes.
There's a
it's
drain.
Like a double exhaustion. Yeah. Yes.
Exactly.
Mercy. Yes.
Yeah, times two, times three.
And you're not making real relationships. Mm-hmm. Like that connection you could have had, you then blocked yourself from having it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the experience of feeling alone is one where Jesus does understand and he meets us there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you have so many verses in scripture, his reminder that he is with us and he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. I love Psalm 34:18 though. Mm-hmm. It says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." It's so important because when you're in this seasonal depression, you start thinking, "No one would want to be around me," and you project that then, and you create that. Sadly, but here is a promise from Scripture that God is actually drawn to us in our brokenhearted condition. Mm-hmm. He comes to us. So that's important to know. And he comes not to condemn, mock, scold, shame.
Yeah.
He comes to heal and to be with. So that's a good word.
Yeah, it is.
In the midst of isolation, feelings of... and. Thoughts about being isolated, Jesus comes and meets us there. So yes, Jesus meets us in our seasonal depression.
Yeah.
The other thing that's fascinating is the fact that there's this component to the seasonal depression of the light and the dark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's this lack of light because there's less sun in the day. And if you didn't get up early to catch the sun, then there's even less of it, you know, because here we're going to lose the sun about 5:30 or so.
Yeah.
Whereas in the summertime, we're used to it being up till
8:15,
9 o'clock. You're still outside, and the lightning bugs are just beginning to come out.
Yeah.
But here in the wintertime is different. You know, 5:30, it's
like rather
pretty
dark
outside. Yeah. You already turned your headlights on for your car and your porch lights on for your house.
And then odds are also in this time frame, it's like it's either very cold or it's either very windy. So you're like, I don't really want to go outside.
So there is a real impact on us from having a lack of physical light, you know. But there's, I was thinking about this also is true when there is a lack of light emotionally. Mm. Okay. So I'm thinking in terms of light being what gives clarity, what gives hope, what gives future, what gives promise. But you let some things happen. Well, some things happen whether you let them or not.
Yeah.
Some tragedy, some loss, some broken relationships. And all of a sudden, what was light and clear becomes hazy and cloudy and dark.
Yeah.
And boy, that has an effect on you. Mm-hmm. It has an effect on your emotional state, your relational state, and can even have an effect on our spiritual state. There are some mm-hmm. components that cause darkness in our spirit. If you're carrying guilt, that causes a darkness. Mm-hmm. If you're carrying shame, extended sorrow, mm-hmm. a sense of hopelessness about the future, condemnation or rejection, those all bring darkness
yeah.
to the emotions and to our mind, and that has an effect.
It does. Continuously thinking of your failures, which yeah. goes along with what you said, but just to break it down to an even replaying of all that mm-hmm. stuff. Keep going. Yeah.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, no, I got nothing else right now.
yeah. yeah, replaying it.
We have lots, but not yet.
Replaying it increases it.
Yes, it does. And just lowers you down into the deeper, deeper depths of it.
Yeah, so if you think about those as hours of daylight, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you're reducing that hours of daylight of peaceful thoughts, joyful thoughts, hopeful thoughts,
yeah.
promising mm-hmm. thoughts, you narrow all those down. It can lead to a state yeah. of depression, of yeah. sorrow.
Yeah.
And this again is where Jesus meets us, because not only in isolation does he meet us, but in darkness he yes. meets us. In fact, yeah. he's referred to himself as the light of the world. So yes. You have verses like Isaiah 9:2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Well, this is the beauty of where Jesus meets us. He meets us to be that hope when it feels hopeless, to give us forgiveness whenever we feel guilt, to give us peace whenever there's so much conflict going on. Mm. He meets us in the midst of that. This is not just religious talk. This is not just church talk. This is real talk.
It is, yeah.
about where Jesus meets us if we'll allow him in at that place
yeah.
in our life. So, that turns into some very practical things, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes mm-hmm. to light, it means I'm going to try to, if there's some daylight hours of the day, I'm going to get out there and get in them, you know?
Yes.
There's exactly. actually physical benefit to being in the sunlight.
Yeah.
Every benefit to being
there
in
the
sunlight. Yes, yeah, yeah. Yes. And I'm going to put myself in situations where there is also relational and emotional light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not new agey talk, but I'm talking mm-hmm. about, I'm going to put myself around people
yeah.
who give off hope
yes. yeah.
and encouragement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not pessimism and shame and, you know, yeah. dark and gloom and despair and agony on me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's I think one of the big things, sorry, go ahead.
It's an old no. line from
Say it.
Hee Haw.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, what is
the
it?
The older folks would know that.
Like, I know. Hee-haw. I almost said yee-haw.
You don't know.
Move on. Apparently you didn't know because that was the
I
line.
I know. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, no, I forgot. Hang
so
on.
So I'll start then.
Okay,
I'll
good.
I'll let you catch up.
Okay. So now I'm going to think about hee-haw.
There's a joke, I guess you could say, these days for people who are like chronically online and are, you could say, either doom scrolling or they're just like downward spiraling and all this mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And you can tell people will say, hey, go touch grass. Go touch some yeah. grass, would you please? You know, because it's like, go outside, get off the computer,
yes.
stop scrolling.
Nice.
Like, and it's just, true. As soon as you hit the grass, it changes
like,
you.
It's like, it's oh, true. Wait a second. There's actually reality.
Yes.
And it's not everything is just virtual. And not everything yes. is like the end of the world. And
yes.
Not everything is like the worst thing ever.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
maybe there's more to life than the things that you can see right in front of you. You know,
yes.
so it's like, go touch grass.
Literally. And be intentional.
Like go outside. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
what the point yeah. I pull from both of what you're saying is you have to do something.
Yeah.
If you're just going to sit there in your reality, and that doesn't mean it's not yeah. real, but are you going to sit as a victim or are you going to sit as a victor?
Yeah. yeah.
Which one are you going to be going in? You have exactly. to do something.
Yeah.
And Jesus will be there.
Yeah, yeah. We can talk about Jesus being the light of the world, but only if you allow him to enter
yes.
into your world will
yes.
you get to experience that light.
Yes. Yeah.
He is that light.
Yes.
But you have to crack open your dark shell
yes.
to let that light in.
Exactly. Yes. And it goes back to whenever you were saying that where Jesus meets us, what I would say is when you're feeling in this dark, heavy moment, whether it's on your knees, it's in the car, it's the, you're cooking dinner, like right. you have to name your reality that I'm broken. I'm heavy. I'm whatever you're feeling, name it. Mm-hmm. And he will meet you there. Yeah. Like, let it just fall down and drop your pride, drop your control and let him in.
Yeah.
Let the light in, just like you just said.
Nice. And that's the thing, I think, again, talking about the physical side of things today, like we are in a society that is increasingly less active, you know, like just naturally, based on the structure of our society, you are not near as active as people were 20 years ago, and then you could say 40 years ago, 60 years ago, 80 years ago. People, it's just a gradual slowing down of like physical stuff. But interestingly, on the mental side of things, it's like a way increased speeding up, you know? So it's like your body.
It's like they go hand in hand.
I know, right? It's your body is literally like flip side of what things were. Mm-hmm. And so nowadays, like you're way less active physically, but way more mentally active. And so that just plays an effect on how people are today emotionally, spiritually, mentally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so you have to, on one hand, like bring up your physical activity level, just on the literal practical side of things.
Yep.
Bring up your physical activity level and bring down your mental activity level. Like to actually, again, turn the phone off.
Yes.
Leave it inside when you go outside. Like do something.
Take the watch off.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Detached from electronics.
Yes.
And do something where you're like intentionally connecting, intentionally praying to God, intentionally connecting to someone else. Like and saying, you know, I am setting aside all of my internal to go connect with someone else who's a real human being.
Yes.
You
know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Especially ones who can be light for you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that here in just a little bit, the impact about of others. But let's talk about another component of seasonal depression, and it is one we touched on, is that it can be exhausting. Mm. It can drain you emotionally and physically. It has the power to take away all your physical strength, even though you have done absolutely nothing in a day.
Yeah.
You never got up off the couch. And at the end of the day, you're more tired than when you started.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make physical sense because you haven't expended any physical energy. But when your mind is racing and your thoughts are not settled and there is not a sense of peace, and then there's sorrow and there's replay, that emotional experience has a physical toll to it, to your entire body. And so it has the power to absolutely drain you, which does not help.
It does not. No, it just adds to more thoughts. And I'd even add on that even sometimes when you're feeling this, you're on the couch, your exhaustion is there, but sometimes it's not even racing thoughts. Sometimes you've just got to this point where you're feeling a numbness and it's just...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just nothing.
Like you reach so much that it's just like, all right, there's nothing else. Like I'm at the peak of all exhaustion, basically, to where it's just like nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
For me, it wasn't a nothing. It was more of a downward spiral is kind of how I experienced it. And so I would experience the thoughts and emotions I had, and then I would try to figure out why am I feeling this way. Mm-hmm. And so I would go around the track one more time and with no answer.
Yeah.
Which every time I went around the track, there was a little bit more sadness to it because I couldn't figure out what was going on.
Yes.
And so it just got heavier and heavier. And that was the image that kept coming to my mind at the time was I felt like I was falling down this spiral and it was absolute despair at the bottom.
Is.
And all I could do was just scream and cry in that moment. And that... It's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's draining.
And you're trying to get out of it, but you can't seem to get your head above. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we've talked about how Jesus meets us in isolation. Jesus meets us in darkness, but Jesus also meets us in the drain when we are absolutely drained. And this is where Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's good news because that describes kind of what for me, at least the experience was, I'm under labor, I'm heavy laden, and I don't have any rest.
Yeah.
And he meets us right there in that spot. He meets us to free us, to give peace, and to give rest. And I was thinking about how there's so many other options out there for rest. You know, when you're anxious, when you're nervous, when you're depressed, when you're scattered, when you're all over the page, there's a lot of things that are available out there. And I'm sure at some point we've tried some of those things. You know, I've tried a lot of those options. I've tried, you know, some escapism. I've tried, you know, movies and media. I'm just going to get lost in something for a little while. I want to have an experience. Could be drugs, could be a lot of different things. When I studied architecture way back in the day, even when we would study some of the architecture dealing with Eastern religion, a lot of the times what they were attempting to create were places that people could go to and find peace in those locations because of the way
the experience,
the experience, because of the way the rocks were arranged, or you know, the buildings were arranged, or the surfaces were designed.
It's a cool idea,
cool concept.
Yeah.
For me personally, it was during that season of my life when I was going through some of the most difficult depression, and I remember going to a lot of those places, thinking, "Okay, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to feel some rest or peace."
Yeah, this has the answers.
Didn't work. I remember going there and thinking, oh, this is nice. This is cool. I see what's happening here. There is less volume here. There's no city noises here, you know, or that tree is peaceful, or, you know, that arrangement is nice. But when I walked away from it, it was all still in me. It was like there was this outside Band-Aid, if you will, on the sore. But there was still an infection inside. And I, you know, whether it was watching a movie, gave me relief for 2 hours. But as soon as it was over, I'm back in it. I'm just curious if you had that experience before where you looked for something that you thought was going to give you that relief, but it didn't.
Anything? So many things. I mean, down from outings, movies. Movies is a big one for me because I do love the movies. And I just had that epiphany the other day. I'm like, this is why I like the movies, because I can go, and I disconnect from everything. My phone, I can't answer my phone. I can't look at the laundry. I can't think about dinner. All I can do is sit and watch, and it's an escape. And that was a big epiphany for me as to, okay, what are you trying to escape? What do you actually need to
go for? It's not bad to go see movies.
I'm not saying that at all. No,
right.
My purpose was not in the right way. It was an escape. But I've done medication. I've done outings with friends. I've done all sorts of things, which, yes, it's good to be around people. And like I said, we'll talk about that. But if I wasn't going with the right mind, or if I went with the mask, or I went, it was just so damaging. But it's also something, it's funny, we tend to cope, conceal, and control. And control is a big one for me.
Slow down.
So, okay, sorry.
Say that all one more time.
So we tend to cope, the three C's. We cope, conceal, and control. And not in the positive ways. Like when we
these
cope.
These are three ways that people respond to.
These are three ways people respond. So
to
we try to.
Or is this to, something bigger? Trauma?
Emotions.
Okay.
To emotions, really. So we try to cope with it as in, not in the healthy way. We try to cope with it in the sense of distraction.
Okay.
Whether it's media, social media, food, whatever it is, it's just
it
an escape. I'm going to cover it up. I'm going to cope with it, deal with it. It's all going to be fine. I'm going to put it in my back pocket. And then we conceal it. And that's when we stuff it. Like conceal, don't feel, like Elsa.
Wow.
Right? And then you're going to have your ice tower and you're going to hurt people.
Here.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to conceal it. And it's just nobody needs to know. I'm going to put on my happy face, conceal it. And then control. And so you want to control it. You want to take control of it. I mean, that's really, but you're doing it within yourself. And I can take care of it. It's okay. It's all going to be fine. And so that's what I find are the three things that people tend to respond with. And it's in different manners, but in a very unhealthy way.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think, so some of the other things that like you think will make you find rest or whatever, whenever you're in this, either again, like the depressive, the thing for me that I find whenever I'm trying to like mentally get out of something, if I'm like procrastinating something that I know like, boy, this is going to require a lot of me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have it all together. I don't know how this is going to resolve or whatever. It's like, okay, well, I'll just busy myself. You know, it's the same mentality. I'll try to find rest from this pressing matter, you know, by going to, you know, yard work, do stuff around the house or whatever. I'll go play disc golf. I'll go do an activity or whatever, or just get super submerged in sports, you know, like, or the other thing that's a classic, you know, is like, oh, well, I'll just scroll and scroll and scroll on X and all social media stuff. And I'll just totally get lost in what I'm experiencing and doing and the way I'm feeling and just get super involved in like whatever political things are happening or whatever news might be going on or whatever controversial take there is and all this kind of stuff, all that stuff, you know. And it is totally that distracting yourself, the coping from what you're actually feeling and trying to find a sense of like numbing your brain, easing your brain, you know, rather than dealing with what's in front of you.
Yeah, because we think that feelings are bad. I mean, Jesus felt feelings.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so it's okay to feel sad.
Yeah.
Like it's okay to, like in your brain, you can't, if you're trying to stop feeling sad, it also dampers out feeling joy. I mean, like they're all within the same.
Right.
What is the somebody will remember it. I can't remember.
Comment it down below.
There you go. That's right. If you remember, but you can't stop feeling emotion.
Right.
I mean, you just can't. So when we do, we mask it.
Right. Now, long-term damaging emotions, this is where we need to turn to Jesus though, because it will drain you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sadness, can't avoid it happening. Are we destined to have to carry it?
No,
not at all. And this all drives the importance of good health. I don't mean to just make it sound like just eat right, you won't have the problem. That's not my point. But when you have real
factor though,
spiritual, mental, emotional, physical health, then you will get the strength back that you need from being drained.
Yes.
That's my point.
Yes.
So, yeah, get out into the light. Get out into the sun.
Yeah.
Get some good old vitamin D.
Yeah.
Exercise.
Yeah.
Touch grass.
Make yourself. Touch grass. Touch grass. Exercise in the grass.
Yeah.
Eat right. Yeah. Don't amplify the problem by eating a bunch of stuff that's going to take you further down the path.
Yeah.
Have some healthy spiritual habits in your life. We'll talk about this in just a moment, but go to church, get involved in a group. Don't just go to church, isolate and walk out the door, but get involved with some people, be involved with some other people who can speak hope and life to you. Have some healthy input in your life. Don't keep listening to unhealthy input, the movies, the music, the media that you ingest.
Mm-hmm.
Have a healthy ingestion and you'll find the strength coming back.
Yes.
So good.
It's good. All right. So seasonal depression. Another thing that it reveals, I think, is the absolute need for other people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of those conditions in which you want to isolate, but it's one of those conditions that reveals the very necessity to not isolate. So most people, I'd say if not all, get out of seasonal sadness with the help of someone else.
Yeah.
Because it's dark enough that you can't get out on your own.
No, mm-mm. I agree.
And in fact, when you read the Bible, you find that we weren't meant to carry a burden on our own.
No.
You have to have someone else with you.
Yes.
So you read Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So here is the truth that I carry a burden. And you carry a burden, and the burden is probably going to be, at times, bigger than what you can carry.
Yes, mm-hmm. It will be.
It will be. Therefore, we have been made to help carry one another's burdens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that means I got to be around somebody who can help carry my burden, and I got to tell them, I can't carry my burden right now.
Yes.
Would you help me?
Yeah.
And then the other person had to say, I would love to help you.
Yes.
Carry your burden.
Yeah.
Those are the components that are essential, which means I need to be around people in my sad time.
Yeah.
I need to verbalize I'm going through a sad time.
Yeah.
I need to allow them to help me. in the midst of that.
And it's tough. It's tough to do that, but it is necessary. And I think in the scripture it talks about your burdens, like we all have a backpack. And we all have different burdens. But whenever you see somebody carrying a boulder, like you can't let them carry it alone.
Okay.
And that's where we're supposed to help each other. If I see you with a boulder on your back, I can't just... And that's where discernment plays in as well, because if you have discernment, you can also see it in somebody else. If I see Brian or if I see anybody and my discernment goes up that something's going on, and you take that opportunity and go talk to them.
That's true.
I guess that's on the other side. But... I think also it's important because when you're in those racing thoughts and you talk to somebody else, they'll help you find the clarity of those thoughts.
Right.
Instead of just it rolling around in your head so much, you can be like, oh, well, that's, yes, I'm feeling heavy, but man, that wasn't what I thought it was.
Right.
And you find some clarity, some healing,
and
some peace.
And then you find this is what Jesus does when he builds the church. This is the whole point. He puts us together in what the Bible calls a body, where we all have different functions and needs and we're dependent upon one another. And we get to see that here. We're part of an active church. We get to see people who sometimes this member is in need and sometimes this person is the supply. Yeah. Sometimes it's reversed. They're the need and they're the supply. So I'm curious, have you seen this?
Oh, yeah.
Where do you see this in ministry here?
Well, this sounds dumb. I see it in the people.
I see it in the instruments.
Then the instruments, yes, they just work together to make a harmony. No, but I see it in the relationships of people being able to open up, go to one another, and then deeper connection within them. I mean, I know that sounds basic, but...
Without giving away names, of course.
Yes.
It's true. There's very real situations where there's been tragedy or loss or sorrow or heartache.
Yes.
Grief.
Yeah.
And when that is known, the other parts of the body rush in to give help and support.
Key part, you have to let yourself be a part of the body.
Correct.
You have to let, because there's somebody else that's going through it, whether you're feeling the seasonal depression in this time because you have an empty nest because you've had a loss. You've lost a parent, you lost a sibling, you've lost a relationship, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Somebody else is walking that same path or has, and you have to be a part of the body to even be able to receive that gift of somebody else walking along with you.
Like I would say for where I see it in the church is, so obviously I'm in the youth ministry aspect of things. And so you have the volunteers, the adults, and you have the teenagers. And it's really cool whenever an adult has walked through something or whatever, and they're able to speak specifically into the life of the teenagers. That's like the most common way that you usually see that go down. But like my favorite way is whenever I see a volunteer going through something that another volunteer has gone through and seeing them connect at a different level that they wouldn't have known each other if it weren't for them serving and getting involved in each other's lives and youth.
Yes.
And then also on the teen side of things, whenever I see other teenagers telling the story to other teenagers of what God has done in their life. That is also a very encouraging time to be like, wow, the body of Christ is dynamic and is used not just in like always older to younger, but like from peer to peer at different age ranges, you know, like that is like what the body of Christ is all about, to bring encouragement in those ways.
Yeah. I was singing along that same line that the people I know that at some point have said, hey, I need you to help carry my pack right now.
Yeah.
They're the ones who, when they've done that and received the help, they're the most grateful.
Yeah.
But the ones who are able to help, they're the ones who are the most fulfilled.
It's so true. Yeah.
And so both of those are necessary.
Yes.
For you to be at times the one who asks, but at times be the one who gives.
Yeah.
And that brings health to the whole body. And so...
And it's not healthy to always be the giver, actually. I'll say that as well.
Yes.
Like, it's not healthy to just, I always only help people with other things, and I actually have all my stuff always all together.
No.
Yes.
Maybe there's some blind spots in your life.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's also really not good to always be the one that's like, I need help, I need help, I need help, I need help. And you've never given ever, right?
Yeah.
Which can sometimes be what needs to fulfill you is that you're actually going to help somebody else instead of always being about you.
Yeah. The never asker or the never giver or the always spectator.
Yes. Never doing either. Yeah. Yeah.
Those are those are the ones who receive the least out of the body church experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the ones who are engaged and they're asking and they're giving, whoo, yeah. they're the most grateful and they're the most fulfilled.
Yes.
So that is where, again, seasonal depression, I think, fits into the Jesus walk and the church experience. Mm-hmm. I think let's start wrapping this up here. Let's talk about where Jesus meets us in maybe the most experiential word when it comes to depression, seasonal depression. And it is this sense of drowning or despair. Like, I can't find it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Earlier y'all explained it as being filled up and I don't know what else to do, kind of
yeah.
numb.
Mm-hmm.
I explained it as more of a circling downward spiral.
Yeah.
Either of those, you have this feeling of drowning kind yeah. of thing. And I think Jesus meets us in that spot. And the good news is that while seasonal depression may affect us, it doesn't have to have the final say.
Amen.
It shouldn't.
Yes. Yeah.
It shouldn't be the final word.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be the label that's given to you that you wear for the remainder of your life.
Yes.
The scripture tells us in Psalm 42, "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" I love that part of the verse alone because it's David talking to himself, and he's talking to the sad part of himself. And he's saying, "What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are we so sad?" And he says, "Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." So David's having a conversation with himself. He recognizes his sorrow, and he says, "I'm going to choose to put my hope in God." And then there's one word in this whole verse that to me is the most powerful. He says, "For I will yet praise him." I'm not at that full point right now, but I'm so confident in who he is and what he's doing in my life that I will. It's coming. Yeah. That yet. And this just drives the importance of hope, taking daily steps, taking small steps, getting into new routines. That's where the healing comes from, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
Does that speak? Is there something you thought about that, Roseanne, this idea of yet?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, I don't know. As you were speaking it, there was just so much peace that was coming over me as you were doing it. I don't know. I'm not ready to answer. You go through
fine.
It.
Yeah. That's fine.
I don't have like a particular thing other than just like the way that David speaks to himself with a call to strength, like mm-hmm. to and a command, like put your hope in God. And it's like, obviously, he's David. Like, he's lived that life before. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he has been up, he's been down. And so he knows what it's like to put his strength in God. And it's not like, this is just the easiest thing. I don't know why I've been doing this. Mm-hmm. But it's like a battle within himself, but a call to strength.
So again, for me, I thought about what helped was in my seasons when they would come around. I think, okay, here we come. Here we're coming up to November, December. Here it comes. Yeah. Get ready for the low point again. Yeah. It almost got to that point for me where I dreaded that season of the year. But I chose to try to take some intentional steps to put myself with other people who could speak hope to me, to verbalize it, to tell some other people I was going through it, to ask people to pray for me, to read some good books. And I did, and it didn't change overnight. But what happened was, over time, as I kept doing that, I found those gaps filled in.
Yeah.
And I found new memories being written over old memories.
Mm-hmm.
So did it make the old memories go away? No. But what it did, it put new memories, new truths on top of them that were greater.
Yeah.
So it made the old ones I wasn't even interested in leaning into.
Yeah.
And so I think this is part of the healing process that he does in our life, is to bring us back around and say, I will yet praise him.
Yes.
I'm going to keep taking the steps to lead me in that path. So if that's something you struggle with, I'd say, you're not alone.
Yeah.
And there's lots of folks, obviously, who deal with that. And there are people who are Jesus followers who deal with that. But there are people who are Jesus followers who are learning to find freedom from that.
Yes.
And not have to forever carry that burden. So our hope is in Christ. And our hope in Christ is often experienced through people who know Christ. Yes. So if you're looking for that, come see us at Vertical. Yeah. Come meet some other people who are following Jesus, even in the places where their gaps are being filled in, and they are on the way to yet praising Him as their Savior and their God.
Yeah. So it's good. So good.
Okay.
Love it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate y'all's input
and
help today in this process or this subject that's very vulnerable, but very real. So keep lifting Him up and living Him out.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's good.